I'm Véronique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and a Mic podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi everyone, this is Véronique and Sylvia on High Vibes and a Mic. We're back for a podcast and a nice episode today on being strong and exercising according to your age and being a confident and strong woman. So today we have a guest all the way from New Zealand. We're very excited about this. And her name is Yana. She's a certified TACFIT instructor, strength and conditioning coach. And she's a qualified personal trainer and a mobility alchemist. So that's a lot of terms that you're going to learn about in a few minutes. We're going to talk all about that in details. But what you need to know is that Yana is all about feeling strong, like I said, confident and powerful. And she's going to tell us how to move with freedom, pain-free, for as long as we can. She helps a lot of athletic women over 40 transition from exercising that leave them either broken, burnout, or bored into a new way of training that's aligned more with their stage of life so they can age with strength, confidence, and grace for all life. So now, let's hear it from Yana. All the way from New Zealand. Wow. How are you, Yana?
Good morning. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're very excited to talk to you. So we have a lot of questions. I hope we're going to have time to ask all of them to you, especially, you know, for exercising, this is our age range. So we're really interested. So to start, I wanted to ask you, so first question, you know, how important it is to exercise regularly when you get older, you know, when someone, for instance, who never exercise, and they want to start doing it after 40, for instance. How important is that for them to do it?
I would suggest to start slowly and gently. You know, sometimes people jump in full on and then, you know, get injured or get burnt out. And it's just a bit too much. So when women reach midlife and, you know, 40, we do kind of say that that is midlife, and that is often when women start going through some quite significant physiological changes in perimenopause and menopause. So if you've never exercised before, I suggest just go slowly, perhaps hire a coach who can help you with correct technique and teaching you how to do exercises, and choose something that you enjoy. I think so many people are doing exercise that they don't enjoy. And I think that's really sad because life is short. So I strongly recommend people find something that they enjoy and that they look forward to, so it doesn't become a chore, but it becomes an enjoyable pursuit that they will be doing for many years to come. Yeah. And also, exercise comes in many, many forms. It's not just going to the gym and lifting weights, as a lot of people believe. Strength training can come in so many different forms and ways. So choose something. Do your research and choose something that looks interesting. Like, I started learning how to surf at 40.
Oh.
Because it looked interesting, you know.
So that looks very difficult. How was that?
It's difficult. It's humbling. Yeah. It's a very humbling experience. I was told that it takes 10 years to learn how to surf. So I am about almost 6 years in, and it is. But then it is something so beautiful to be in the ocean and to feel the energy of it. And, you know, I believe that ocean is a very feminine, you know, body of water. So being immersed in it on a regular basis is very powerful for so much more than just, you know, the physical pursuit of surfing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure when you do surfing, you exercise everything in your body, and it's also like a meditation, I would think, now because of the water and maybe, you know, your nature. It's like you're mixing the two together.
Oh, absolutely. And it's It's, I think that we humans sometimes have this real superior complex, but you go into the ocean and you know that you're nothing. You can be dead in a minute, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. I have had some really nasty experiences. And if you kind of go in there with a bit of ego and attitude, I think the Mother Ocean will deal to you really quickly. So it's a really nice sport to let you know that you are actually absolutely insignificant in the face of nature.
Okay.
And you could be gone just like that.
I know. That's it's true. Beautiful. Yeah. So what made you realize that you couldn't train the same way than you trained when you were like in your 30s? Did your body talk to you and you woke up one? Because now I wake up in the morning and I'm already hurting. So is it something just like that? Or you were like, okay, no, I need to change something.
Yeah, and these are often the women that I help. They usually very active and very physically accomplished. I coach a lot of ex-athletes or semi-professional athletes. And these women have been training so hard for sometimes decades, years, and then they hit that 40. Sometimes it's a little bit later. Sometimes it's closer to 50 years old. And they suddenly, exactly as you said, they start getting chronic pain, chronic aches, chronic injuries. They often feel really burnt out. Like they feel like they just have no energy to be pursuing training sessions like they used to. And it's often quite a devastating event for them, you know, for people that have been so used to the performance and the thrill and the drive and the challenge of training, and suddenly their body is like, no more, can't do it anymore. And then, you know, it's the pain, it's the chronic pain and the injuries that that most women that come to me suffer from. And that is usually the body really like telling you, you're not listening to me. I've been asking for you to change your training for so long, and now I'm going to make you listen. I'm really going to make you listen.
Yeah.
So what type of exercise do they start doing then? Is it too different from what they are used to? These women.
So often I help them. Yeah. So often there's a bit of grief and there is a bit of resistance sometimes to transition. They instinctively know they need to transition into something that is a little bit more aligned to where their bodies are at. Some women don't want to kind of recognize it, that I'm afraid your body is aging, and it doesn't mean that you need to stop altogether and that you don't, you know, you can't train anymore, but it just means that you need to train your body in a different way and perhaps focus on different things. And I think that's where often the masculine way to exercise comes in, because most women are trying to fit into a man's world of exercise. It's very focused on performance, sets and reps, numbers. Often the training cycles are 6 weeks or 12 weeks, or it basically is designed for a man's body, and a man's hormonal cycle is 24 hours. So men can work out pretty solidly the same way all the time. Women have 30-day cycles or 28 to 31-day cycles. So we can't train like that. And once you realize that different hormones are dominant in different phases of women's cycles, then you realize that the training you've been doing has not been designed to support your body and to get the most out of your body. It has been designed to just basically destroy you eventually. So I think that that's when women often realize they've just been punishing their bodies and not really focusing on the strength and the beauty and the grace of the female body and how to train in sync with hormones and with sometimes maybe the stage of life where women are at, maybe 40, maybe 50 or later on in life.
Mm-hmm. So that means that because I remember I read a book about, it was this lady talking about the importance of following your cycles and knowing when it's time to stop, when it's time to be active. And it was about like getting pregnant at the time. The book was about pregnancy. But she also talked about when you are exercising, when is the right time to do it? If you're approaching your, like, your menstruation, like when the period is about to come, and during that period, like 4 or 5 days, you should just respect the body and let it rest and not force it and do like those intense exercises. But I feel like a lot of us just do it. Like a lot of women just kind of like are careless of that. And even though I try like the first 2 days not to go anywhere, the third day I'm already thinking like I have to go to the gym. And I know like women there at the gym, they are there every single day. So they don't take those breaks either. So how important is that to know, like to choose better when it comes to those days before menstruation?
You hit it right on the head. Yeah, exactly. It's women override those instincts, or it's lack of knowledge. It is lack of knowledge and understanding of how the female body is within that 1 month. I'm just going to say 1 month for the sake of the argument. I know some women have shorter cycles, some women have longer cycles, but it is basically a month. And we don't teach that. I only learned that recently, and I'm almost 47. How's that? That women have so little understanding, and I have recently put out a free guide exactly explaining to women what's happening in their bodies. And I was absolutely flabbergasted how many women do not understand what's happening inside their bodies over the month. Because once you do understand which hormones are dominant in which phase, all that guilt from I don't want to go to the gym, or I'm just lazy, or you can't slack, you have to push through, that all goes. Because once you understand the physiology, and as you referred to, that last week before your menstruation starts and the first few days, that's where progesterone is dominant hormone. Progesterone doesn't like stress. Physical exercise is stress on the body. It's a good stress, but it is still a physiological stress. So once you know that if you go for that hardcore workout 2 days before your menstruation starts, it's not going to be good, because you are then increasing your cortisol. Progesterone goes down, which means that maybe you might get a bad PMS. Maybe your period is going to be really heavy. Maybe you're going to get bad pain. Maybe you're going to feel extra tired. So it's a lot of things that once you understand what is going on inside your body and what the hormones need, then you can train in sync with them and understand what type of exercise you should be doing. So maybe on day one of your period, you want to just lie down on the couch and eat cookies. That's okay. But maybe you just want to go for a gentle walk. Maybe you just want to do a little bit of mobility because you've got a little bit of tension in your lower back. So there's still exercises you can do, but maybe the full-on 1 hour long weight session at the gym, or the CrossFit class, or the 5 mile run might not be such a good idea.
And nobody talks about that. Nobody tells us about this. It's unbelievable. I swear, it's unbelievable. You have to wait to be in your 40s to know about all of this.
Yeah. If they want to find out, because a lot of women don't even.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Because I have 2 daughters and I will tell them about that. I will.
Yeah. I have 2 daughters, awesome. 2 teenagers. So wow. It's so wonderful that I'm able to, you know, pass on the knowledge and for them to understand what they should be doing, how much they should be resting and when, and just listen. Just even the simple fact of listening to your body. Maybe sometimes you just need a bit more sleep and a bit more rest. Sometimes you need that, maybe those couple of cookies, you know?
Okay. Those cookies are so good.
Sometimes only, doesn't it?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Not every day, obviously.
Yeah, but, not every day.
Maybe that, you know, 2 days before your menstruation starts, yeah, and your progesterone is asking for glucose.
That's me right now.
And glucose, you know.
Chocolate.
Your body's asking for it, right? I don't crave the sugar the whole month till 1 or 2 days before.
I know.
And then I'm just like, oh, I must be coming because I'm craving for chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go for it. Once a month. Fine. You know?
Because it's so tasty when you go for it. When you really want it.
When your body really wants it. When your body really wants it, you know?
Yes.
Look at me, a fitness coach recommending that you eat chocolate. Yeah.
We have to listen to our body, you know? I mean,
it is your body. Yeah. And, you know, the truth to be told, women do have a little bit more body fat, you know? We're very different body shapes than men do. We need that for our health. We need a little bit more than men. And kind of, you know, we shouldn't be thriving for six packs and very low body fat. That's not really, you know, not that healthy for us.
Yeah. I know, but I have some friends at the gym that they want that. Like this one in particular that I'm always talking about her because I think it's amazing. She takes 2, 3, 4 classes, high intense strengthening classes a day. And I'm wondering if that is, and she's 2 years older than me, pretty fit, but I wonder if it's at some point, if it just becomes an addiction. Maybe it's a good addiction or I don't know, but I wonder how it can impact negatively your body from just overdoing and try to be super muscly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just you punishing your body, I think, is too much for women, you know. But then there are some top athletes, obviously, you know, there are people who are training for the Olympics. You know, there are women like that, but it is such a small percentage. And they have a whole team around them of nutritionists and doctors and massage therapists and acupuncture. And, you know, like they have a whole team looking after them.
Yeah.
The average woman doesn't have that luxury, you know. Yeah, of someone cooking your meals and making sure that you are hitting all your nutritional requirements. Yeah. So, you know, it suits some people and some people get away with it. From my experience, a lot of women don't get away with this kind of training for that long. And eventually it will just come crashing down with injuries or total adrenal fatigue or a bit of a breakdown, you know, kind of hitting the proverbial wall at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And what would be the best exercise or like the good balance between the strength training or aerobics? Because there's always that, like, okay, should I just be doing strength training? And it's already kind of like my heart is getting to a nice high rate, so I don't need to do just the aerobic part. Or, yeah, which one? Like, or do you think there is a balance between those two?
It's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yes, like, what should we be doing?
Yeah. So I believe that after 40, you really need to focus on three types of exercise. The first one is mobility, because mobility is essentially kind of money in the bank for the old age. So mobility training, like really targeted systematic mobility training, will take care of your joints and connective tissue like ligaments and tendons. So, you know, when people sometimes say they have aches and pains and maybe they have some tension in the body, some restrictions, limited range of motion, and they feel old, you know, you see people and they're like, they're 40 and they're like, oh, I feel so old. That's because they move like an old person because they are not looking after their joint health. So I recommend definitely mobility. If you are over 40 and you're not doing some form of mobility, I think you're doing yourself a bit of a disservice, and they will catch up with you. You know, I see people in their 60s who can't get in and out of a car because they have really tight hips, or people who can't get down onto the ground and then stand back up because they are too tired. So that will significantly impact the quality of your life as you are aging. So that is, in my eyes, one of the most important exercise modalities. The beautiful thing, you only have to do 5-10 minutes every day. It's very short. You don't have to actually spend hours and hours doing it. But it's about short little sessions consistently. So consistency is the key. It's literally like saving up for retirement. Just like you're putting money in the bank or in your savings account for retirement, mobility is essentially just training for old age, so you can be living independently and doing things that you want to do, living in your own home, being able to look after yourself and just basic physical activities like carrying the groceries into your house. The second one will be definitely some form of strength training, especially for women. You know, we start losing muscle mass after 30. And muscle mass, your muscle is the organ of longevity. It really is. There is so much research coming out now about how important it is to preserve lean muscle. And the best way to do that is to obviously eat protein, adequate amounts of protein, but also strength training. But again, strength training can come in so many forms. It doesn't have to be gym and weights. It could be some squats and push-ups at home. It could be calisthenics. It could be, you know, for me, surfing is a really good strength training workout. It could be some functional work with kettlebells. It could be so many different things, and it doesn't have to be an hour either. So it's kind of 20 minutes, three times a week. And then the third one is some form of exercise that will raise your heart rate, so for your cardiovascular health. Because again, you know, heart disease is the number one killer of women. That is the number one. So looking after our heart and lungs and cardiovascular system is very important. I'm a big proponent of walking as well for women, you know, because that is really good for metabolic health as well. So these three would be the ones I think people should pay attention to. You don't have to spend hours and hours every single day to do that. It's I'm a big fan of 10 to 20 minute workouts. We're busy. You can get very fit and very strong in 20 minutes, three, four times a week.
Can you give an example of mobility, an exercise of mobility, because I'm not sure I'm...
Yeah, so there is a bit of a... Yeah, people don't quite understand what mobility versus stretching is. Yeah, so mobility are a dynamic movements that kind of take your joint through the full range of motion. So it's quite gentle, but it's not easy. So for example, like... doing like shoulder circles, you know, just that. So it's a dynamic rather than passive stretching, like probably what like a yin yoga class would be, where you're just holding the poses and you're passively stretching the muscles. Mobility is more about dynamic movement. So it's just taking, it's about the joints and the connective tissue around the joints, your ligaments and your tendons. So it's, you know, for example, if somebody is sitting down in front of a computer for long periods of time, which a lot of us have to do for work, then your hips will become tight because you are adapting that position. So it's really crucial that at the end of the day, you take your hips through a bit of a full range of motion just to remove the tension, because your muscles have been under tension for hours and hours and hours, the little muscles around the hip joint. So you need to, at the end of the day, to stretch them out. And you'll notice people who sit down for long periods of time will have issues with their hips and will perhaps have neck pain as well because their posture is rounded. Yeah. So it is kind of compensating for those positions we are putting our bodies in every single day and then removing the tension, the stiffness. You know, sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh, my neck is a bit stiff. So just taking the neck through like a simple, you know, exercises, we'll just relieve that tension, and then, you know, a small tension will become a small ache, then becomes a bigger ache, and then becomes an injury, and then people end up with frozen shoulders and, you know, awful hip pain or knee pain or back pain, lower back pain. That's currently the number one complaint, medical complaint in the world, is back pain. Completely can be avoided. So mobility is very potent. It looks simple and easy, but it's incredibly potent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mobility it is. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't know about that one.
So. Yeah. And for, since you're saying that after 30, we start losing muscles, which is very depressing.
Scary.
It's scary. So after 40, how long does it take to build muscles if you start working and, like, you know, like you don't have any muscles pretty much? Because it's someone who never really worked out, or if we're coming back to after a long time not doing anything, how long does it take for us to build muscles, to get toned again with regular exercise?
It happens very quickly. It happens very quickly. It's the human body is it's a marvel. It's incredibly adaptive. I mean, we've been living for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and our bodies are so adaptive. As soon as you start stimulating your muscles, it all starts happening. I would say within 3 months, if you give it 2-3 sessions a week, I would say you will notice, you yourself will notice difference within weeks. Other people will probably notice a difference in about kind of 8 to 12 weeks. It would be your energy level. It's not just the muscle, right? It will be your energy levels. It will be your posture. It will be your confidence. A strong woman is a confident woman because she's, you know, strong and, you know, has good posture. And I think that what a lot of people think that exercise will just give you physiological advantages like strong bones and strong muscles, but it gives you a mental edge as well. It's about doing something that is uncomfortable and difficult. You know, it hurts. It's uncomfortable. Getting your heart rate up and sweating is uncomfortable. It builds resilience. It builds grit. And is that, you know, choosing to do the hard thing right now so then life can be easy later on, rather than what a lot of people now, they're quite comfortable, right? So they're choosing the easy thing of not exercising, skipping workouts, not working out at all. Then life will become very hard, because if you don't have good muscles, your quality of life will be awful when you are 60, 70, and 80. We're living really long lives now, most of us, but we're not living exactly vibrantly thriving lives. You know, there is that physiological decline. But I think the myth is that you have to be like that. You don't. You absolutely don't. I surf with people in their 70s and 80s. So you don't have to end up like that. You don't have to end up living in assisted living. You don't have to end up with fractures and awful injuries like broken hips and broken pelvis. If you only do a little bit of exercise regularly, and it can just be walking and doing some mobility and doing some squats and push-ups at home. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Did you notice sometimes people, when they get old, they get that hunchback? They're really like, they really have this thing on their, you know, on their, from the neck and the back. And I'm like, is it because you stop exercising after a while and you just started walking? Or maybe we were too on our phones. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah,
I see a lot of people, they're really getting that round back.
Yeah. So that's completely preventable. That is essentially either lack of strength. So in older people right now, that would be just lack of strength and lack of mobility. So it's, you know, gravity kind of hunches us down, or you could be on, you know, again, working on a computer for long periods of time. So that means that the muscles in your chest become very tight and the muscles on the back are very loose and stretched out. So again, so simple to solve. You just start stretching your chest and start strengthening your back. So a lot of it is lack of, again, mobility training when you're opening the chest on a regular basis and compensating for the positions your body spends a lot of time in. And secondly is the lack of strength. So lack of some basic strength training or strengthening the back. I see a lot of teenagers with this now. I actually see teenagers in my coaching practice that are being brought in by their parents because they have such poor posture. And it's this.
It's because of the phone, right?
Because of the phone. They are on their phone. I know. Yeah. And you see them walking in the street, you know? Mm-hmm. They're like that.
Yeah.
And it's tragic. Yeah, it will lead to pain because the body is not supposed to be like that. It doesn't work optimally like that. So that is completely avoidable. It's not about old age, because I see teenagers with it now. And it's about, again, lack of mobility, lack of strength training. Can be sorted 3 to 6 months. If it's real bad, you can improve it within 12 weeks. And if it's, you know, to fully to improve it, it's probably 6 months tops, sometimes less. Very simple. Exercises at home, 10 minutes a day. You would get rid of it just like that.
okay, so at least we can do something about it. Because I was afraid.
And most people will be a little bit hunched over. Yeah. Most people. It's very rare for me to see people in the street that are, that have really beautiful, perfect posture. Yeah.
And I know there's something big that you're very proud, you know, in your workout program. It's called Training Like a Feminine Warrior. Can you explain to us a little bit what it is? Because I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. So we touched on this a little bit when we were talking about the hormones. So I think that the crux of it is women should not try to train like men. And, you know, it is, even the fitness industry is very much set up for men. That kind of traditional weightlifting or the CrossFit classes is very masculine exercise. So I'm all about women recognizing and knowing intimately their bodies so they can train always in sync with their bodies and their hormones. So not pushing when it's not time to push, but really train hard when it's that first part of your cycle when you feel really good. So it's about tapping into the feminine strengths, and it's about maybe discovering modalities, exercise modalities that really accentuate the flow, because women are, I don't think we are really fundamentally built for lifting weights for reps and sets. I think we're built to flow and do different types of exercises, and that's why I love the steel mace so much, because it's an ancient warrior weapon. It's been around for thousands of years. Even primal humans were attaching boulders to sticks because they recognized that it's a very, very efficient tool for defense or for fighting or for killing things for food. So it has, I think, wired into our DNA to be swinging things around our body. It's and then it was discovered, it was training warriors and wrestlers in ancient India and Pakistan. And then about 10 years ago, the steel mace has arrived in the West, and it is quickly becoming a very prominent kind of fitness tool in conditioning athletes or just everyday people, because it is so versatile. You can do interval training sessions with it, but you can also do these beautiful mace flows where you're transitioning through movements. So it's a little bit like a dance, yoga, martial arts, strength training. And I think that women, particularly in that second part of their cycle where they want to just do a little bit more gentle exercise, are really deeply drawn to that form of exercise. So you basically have one tool that is incredibly versatile. You can do your strength training with it. You can do your interval training with it. But then you can pick up a light one and just dance with it, swinging around your body. And what I love about the steel mace as well, that it's not only a strength training tool, but it's a mobility tool, because you can create these incredibly complex movements where you're taking your joints through the full range of motion. So rather than having to do mobility separately, you actually, if you're doing the flows, it's all built in, because you are twisting, you're turning, you're going up and down, side to side, you're transitioning the mace around your body, you're swinging it, sometimes just with one arm, just creating phenomenal strength in the core and in the joints like shoulder and elbow and wrist. So you can actually discover tools that are so feminine, yet it is still building phenomenal strength and power, but with grace. I don't think lifting barbells is that graceful, but to see people, to see women and men as well, mm-hmm. to flow with the mace, it's mesmerizing. It really is mesmerizing, really. The in my eyes, that is the feminine warrior, the strength, the grace, the beauty, the flow, the feminine essence translated into strength training.
Okay. Because, I mean, it looks good. Sorry, it sounds good, but I don't know where somebody will do. I mean, I never seen that here in America. So I don't know if instructors, they know about that kind of training here. Where would you buy, you know, that steel mace? Also, I don't know if you will find that, you know, on Amazon or on those, yeah, you know, workout stores.
Yeah, so you can get it off Amazon. They are very readily available. So once you start, you know, it's still a little bit underground. So you need to kind of search for it. But there's phenomenal coaches all over the world doing it. They're not expensive, and you can get them on Amazon. Onnit and TechFit have really high quality maces. They're, I think, about $25-$30 to buy one. And then access some, you know, I have a free YouTube channel where I run tutorials specifically for beginners as well, because it is a very dynamic tool. So you can really hurt yourself. You can literally smack yourself on the head. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's different. It's not like holding a barbell or a dumbbell. So you need to be a little bit careful and start slowly, start literally from the beginnings and build your strength, because the mace is like nothing you've ever held in your hands before.
Is it heavy?
It can be heavy, but obviously start with a mace that is very light. So normally I would recommend women start with 4 kilo mace, which is about 7-9 pounds, and then slowly increase, you know, the weight. You would also use slightly lighter maces when you're doing floats, but you can use heavier maces when you're doing strength training, where you're just isolating exercises and perhaps you're doing interval training session. So you might want to go a little bit heavier, but for the flows, definitely light, because, you know, you'll be swinging it around your body with just one arm. So, and because, you know, there's the weight is at the end, but the stick is 1 meter long, 3 feet.
Yeah.
So that's going to hit your body quite differently than lifting a dumbbell, because of the forces, the physical forces of the mace swinging around your body and the loading on the whole body. So it's not like you're just going to do back and chest like often people do in gyms, right? Like today's leg day. Well, with the mace, it's everything, every single day. And that's how the human body was designed to work. The human body is not designed to work to just use the back muscles for something. It is designed to work as a whole unit, as a symphony of muscles and tendons and ligaments and joints to be able to give you the movement that you want. So I love how it hits every single muscle in your body with just simple exercises. And I was coaching one of my clients, a man, and we did this quite complicated flow. And the next day he said, "I think I've discovered a new app I didn't know I had." So, you know, people discover the deep muscles, the little deep muscles, you know, because the mace puts such massive demand on your body. But that's where the kind of the functional strength come from. So then you can go into your daily life and do whatever you want, whether it's picking up a baby out of a car seat or doing a few hours of gardening or go for a surf. You have the strength, you have the mobility, you have the conditioning to be able to do anything that you want without injury.
Without injury.
Because that's the main aim of anyone after 40 is to avoid injury.
Injury, yeah.
Exactly. And what is a TechFit instructor, since you're talking about all these different modalities?
So TechFit is a phenomenal fitness system that was developed in the United States by Scott Sonnen, and it's functional training at its best. It's 20-minute workouts using club bells, kettlebells, steel mace, gymnastic rings, and bodyweight exercises. It has a huge focus on mobility and exercising within your safe zones. So it's about being in control and knowing where you're at on any given day and not pushing past states where it's very difficult to recover from. It also teaches you a lot of breath techniques for quick recovery. So if you happen to want to do a workout that will really put a huge demand on your body, you learn techniques how to come back into control. So I loved it. I discovered it in about 2016 and traveled to the United States to certify in 2017 under Scott Sonnen. And that's what I teach to people, a slightly modified version of TechFit fitness system, because it works so well. And it's 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes. And
just 20 minutes.
Anybody can probably find 20 minutes, 2-3 times a week to work on their strength and fitness and health ultimately.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, how interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of it. So that's a type of exercising modality, right? TechFit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole fitness system. So they are a really big organization. They have ton and ton of different programs using, you know, club bells, steel mace. They have mobility programs and mobility flow programs. They are phenomenal. The knowledge is incredible. And to become a TechFit certified instructor is a very lengthy process. And there is only very few people in the world that can certify you. So if anybody is listening in the audience and they want to find a TechFit instructor, you will know that they are incredibly highly educated coaches, because the quality control across the globe in terms of the certification is incredibly high. It's very, you need to be able to know a certain amount of stuff and be able to do a certain amount of stuff yourself to become a TechFit instructor. It's a very prestigious certification, and we have to recertify every 3 years. We have to upskill all the time, and we have incredible support and from the head coaches. And a lot of research is kind of trickling down from the head coaches as well, which is great support for all of us just doing our own thing in our own country.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, if I see that name, I'm going to think of you. If I see anyone offering that. And oh, it's good, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious also, do you, in all the program you offer, do you also give advice to your client about nutrition, or are you just doing exercising?
Obviously, I'm not a qualified nutritionist. Okay. So, you know, my advice will always come with a disclaimer that I don't have the certification or the education to back it up. What I have is, again, a knowledge how my body works over the month. So once you realize that when you're in the estrogen dominant phase, estrogen doesn't like glucose very much. So you can eat more of a low carbohydrate ketogenic diet. But as soon as you switch post ovulation into the progesterone dominant phase of your cycle, progesterone really needs glucose. So you know that in the second part of your cycle, you need carbohydrates. So nutrition, I think, has been, again, just so overcomplicated. Yeah. But why is no one talking about women and nutrition and hormones and what the hormones need? Because once you know these two pieces of information, estrogen doesn't like glucose, progesterone needs glucose, then you know exactly what you should be eating on any given day, and also how to fast, possibly. There is an amazing book called Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Peltz.
Oh, I have it.
I don't know if you've read it, Vernon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, yeah. Right?
It's a very
but
good
it
book,
is, yeah. Again, what is the basis? What is the underlying basis of this book? Mm-hmm. Estrogen, progesterone.
Almost, yeah.
Estrogen needs, you know, what needs, estrogen doesn't want glucose. Progesterone needs glucose. And then, you know, in your menstruation, you're using up roughly about 200 extra calories the first couple of days. Once you know that you just need extra calories. Yeah. Probably not always recommended that they come in a form of a donut or ice cream. Sometimes it could just be, you know, something, you know, a little bit healthier. But we also have to understand that there is food for nutrition and there is food for pleasure. And there needs to be some balance in that as well. You know, if you're craving that donut, just have it and enjoy it. Just don't have it every day. So it's, I think nutrition can be actually really simplified. Again, a ketogenic diet was developed. You know that to date, till today, there is no research done on women on ketogenic diets. All the data is from men. Hence why ketogenic diet doesn't work for women. I've tried it for a few months. It really upset my hormones. And now I'm looking back at it and I understand. A, it's too restrictive. It's really difficult. It's food becomes so complicated. It's really difficult for women to get into ketosis as well. I mean, some women get phenomenal results, but they can never sustain that result usually. And they upset their hormones because progesterone needs glucose. So, you know, like, okay, be in ketogenic diet for a couple of weeks. But as soon as you pass ovulation, you can't be in ketogenic diet because then you're not making enough progesterone, which means that you're going to become an anxious, nervous wreck. And you're going to have an awful PMS, really heavy periods, and you're going to have a very hard time conceiving if that's your goal. It's very simple. Again, nutrition can really just be, again, boiled down what is happening inside your body over the month. And what we probably haven't talked about is women in perimenopause and menopause, because, you know, like I'm 47 and I'm definitely in perimenopause and my cycles are becoming longer, but, or women in menopause who don't have cycles anymore, but we are still a cyclical beings. We still need a cycle. So even women who no longer have a cycle or have like they're using contraceptives that don't give them a cycle, they don't give them a period, like the Mirena IUDs and stuff like that. Women don't really have like a very recognizable cycle, or women who are already in menopause should still be eating and training in this cyclical way like this, like in the cycle, in that monthly cycle. And for women like that, line yourself up with the moon. It's no coincidence that the moon cycle is 29 days. So is ours. I don't think that's a coincidence. So for women who no longer have that day one, you know, the first day of their menstruation, line yourself up to a full moon or a new moon and just run on that monthly cycle, because we are, I think, infinitely connected more to nature and the moon and the ebb and flow. So just because you are in perimenopause and menopause doesn't mean that you turn into a man and should be training and eating like one too. You are still a beautiful woman. And so still go in a monthly training and eating cycle like you, like women who are still, you know, having regular periods.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's very good to know that, because I was wondering, like, if you're not if you're already not having your period, how that would be with the whole cycle. So yeah, very good information.
Yeah, because women are still producing estrogen even when they are in menopause. It's just called estrone, and it's not produced in the ovaries, it's produced in the adrenal glands. So you don't just go flatline in all hormones once you are in menopause. You are still making some hormones, not as many, as much, but you are still making some kind of hormones, and you still be kind of cycling in some way. Not here, but kind of here. So you don't just go like hormones are dead in menopause. They are still, you're still making some form of estrogen, which is estrone.
Okay.
Oh,
very good.
Well, so you can give some good advice to your clients, you know, about that. And for the moon, really, I never thought about it. That's a good tip. Thank you very much. Because I think I'm also getting there. I'm 51, so I'm getting there definitely. I'm sure I'm on perimenopause too. So
yeah. And that's the, you know, we're just kind of living our lives very disconnected from nature. But when you start looking at these, you know, synchronicities, then you realize, okay, well, the moon is 29 days, the cycle. It moves oceans. It moves water. We are 80% water, right? And so it's, you know, we think that we're just living here and we don't need to kind of take care of the nature or like live in sync with it. That's really not true at all, right?
Yeah. In Brazil, we have our, like, we plan to have haircuts according to the moon, the face of the moon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I might remember my mom always saying, you want to have like fuller hair, have it cut on, under the full moon. If you want to grow fast in the crescent, which I don't know how to say that in English, though. When it's like
new moon.
Yeah. The new. Yeah. So yeah, we say crescent. I think it means new moon. Yeah. If you want like to grow it fast. So. See, it's everywhere. You just have to
follow. Oh, it is. Like even like planting your garden. There is like a moon gardening calendar. Mm. There's a fishing moon calendar. Like it's when you see it. And it's like you harvest certain herbs at certain time of the month as well. And women, you know, like I don't know about you, but when it's full moon, I don't sleep very well. I get all kind of a little bit edgy. So when you...
You need to pay attention to that because, yeah, sometimes I'm like, wide, you know, my eyes are wide open and I don't know what's going on.
And I think we're all ultimately inside like little bit of a witch, you know? A little bit, like in a good way.
Maybe.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Little witch inside.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I really think so. Yeah. Women, you know, it's a massive feminine power, isn't it? We have, you know, we can create life and do so much, so it's good to look after our bodies and understand how they work.
Yes, definitely. Well, it was such an amazing information. Like, it's very good. I'm sure Veronique tomorrow is gonna already sign up for some classes and.
you're joking, but I'm really intrigued with that mess training. I really like it because. I was looking at you doing it, you know, on the beach. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this?
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And I love, you know, when women come to me and they start training with the mace, how they just become stronger and more powerful and invincible. Like it's that they often tell me, I just feel so good and so, powerful and invincible and strong, not only physically but mentally. There is something about swinging an ancient weapon around your body to just fuel you for your day, you know, because you will take no bullshit from anyone, right? It's like, I swing the mace in the morning. Like, you've got nothing on me. So that's what I love. It's the look the women get. They're kind of fierce, badass. Don't mess with me. Look, you know, and barbells never gave me that. Yeah. But then again, you know, some people really love their gym workouts. They love the barbells. They love the CrossFit classes. So again, you just have to find something that you enjoy, that gives you a lot more than just an exercise. It just gives you more, you know, more kind of overflow into your life of resilience and grit and stress, you know, stress resilience as well, because our lives are so busy and stressful, and exercise could be a very potent way how to fight that and inoculate yourself with, you know, against stress. So it's more than that. I think exercise can go really beyond just the physical. It can go into more of the mental and emotional well-being as well. It's literally probably one of the most positive things you can introduce into your life, I would say. For many reasons, you know, mental health, definitely.
I was going to say, it's good for the mind.
It's very hugely. Good for the
mind. Yeah. I mean, I know for me, if it doesn't need to be boring. If it's not boring, I know I will stick with it. So when I saw you with the steel, you know, and doing all those dance and those string, I was like, oh, that looks like a dance or something. So, because I don't like, you know, exercising and doing always the same thing, repetitive, and after a while for me it becomes very boring. So I think if you can find something where you can stick with it, go for it, you know.
Yeah, and something that is challenging, you know, in all the right ways. Something that's exactly like dancing, and it's quite martial. It's a little bit like martial arts as well, and that's kind of exciting.
Do you remember when it was the trend of the Zumba? Have you ever done that, Sylvia?
Yeah. I've done Zumba, for a few years.
I love Zumba. You never done Zumba?
Of course. I just had Zumba. I went to Zumba yesterday. You know I go to Zumba. You forgot?
No.
What? Oh, my God. No, I go to Zumba all the time.
I thought you were doing
one of the classes I take. No, but I do different classes. But Zumba is one that I love. Love dancing.
I love Zumba. Yeah, because Zumba is not boring. It's dancing. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a workout, is it? It doesn't feel like it.
So that's when I'm like, okay, I just want to do something light and fun. I just go to a Zumba class, you know, just burning some calories and dancing. And it's fun, mm-hmm. just moving the body. And you feel good. You just feel like, you know, like a woman, like super sensual. I love it.
Yeah. That's good cardio, right? That's good for your heart, this kind of exercise.
But using your muscles as well. It's actually quite hard work. I've done it and I was really surprised how difficult it is.
Yes,
and then there's the choreography, right? I was always going,
to memorize and know, like, feel the rhythm. I mean, to follow the rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zumba's wonderful. Yeah.
I think we're out of time. So that was a great conversation.
Yeah, it went by so fast. Oh my God. It was great.
It went very, very fast. But I think we had time to ask a lot of questions, right? Do you have anything else to add, Sylvia?
No, I think I asked, not that I'm aware of, I think I actually covered everything.
Yes.
Answered beautifully.
Yeah. So Yana, where can people connect with you? When can they find you if they want to, because I'm sure you have program online. You said you have a free YouTube channel also.
Yeah. So, have a look on my website and you can get lots of freebies there. I've got, you know, if you're a little bit more interested, if your audience is more interested in finding out about how to train and eat and fast and sync with hormones, I've got a free guide, 17 pages of information, all kind of translated into normal, non-sciencey guide. And then, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and I've got a YouTube channel that I've just started with free tutorials. So there's lots of mobility there, but also MACE. Training sessions as well. They're all kind of nice and short too. I keep it short. And then I have a Facebook community, private community, where I do training every single week. And that's probably where people can access my support, my coaching support the most. It's for women only, but it's a very safe container where you can talk about anything. We can talk about anything, which is
about our menopause and menstruation.
Yeah. Anything goes in there. Yeah. Like juicy conversations. Yeah.
I will put all the information in the show notes. This way people can just go and click on it. I will put all the information of your website in there. And if they want to connect with you, they can just go there. So thank you very much. And
yes, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Yana.
Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure.
It was great. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and a Mic. Until next time, laugh hard, stay silly, and never forget to bring your sense of humor. Please follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest.